Straight from the burning flames of hell, a place worn assassins dwell. Put back on the earth to destroy all worshipers of peace. Black bags and caskets, may all good cease. Gather a global organization much stronger than the mob.
Shot with a 12 gauge. I died and made front page. The devil sent me back and now I'm using the same gauge. Killing like a maniac, living like a lunatic. Some would say the straightest six, the devil's who you're fucking with. A savage, a torture. Should've been kept in an institution. Been shot in the head. I go out like a sucker, but I still die. Went to hell and just took over the motherfucker. Learned the devil's tricks on how to run this shit. I had a fall out with Satan and called his son a bitch. Repeating satanic verses, but I changed the words. Now you worship me. The gates of hell on fire, shooting flames can't be worse than G.
Hell set. They call me Rip for a reason. I'm on a road to see bloody bodies. Just call me a demon. It's the psychopathic maniac. Mangling lady, sticks a grenade in the pussy. Then I start strangling baby. See, it's death to all my enemies. That's Rip's only tactic. But if by chance we kill each other, then our souls will go at it. See, I'm talking the triple six. It's death by the sword. I told Satan that I'm killing him through the Ouija board.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. I am the great and powerful Cypher.
What up, y'all? I'm just bullshitting. What up, man? Cypher Supreme Rock Podcast. We gonna talk about the industry, man. I'm here with one of my co-hosts here. I said Earth Rob My Eye.
Hello.
We in this thing, man. We're gonna talk about the industry for a hot second, man. This is based off and inspired by what's going on with Tamar Braxton. Send a shout out to Tamar Braxton, man. We're rooting for you. We hope you get right and get all the help that you need and get you out of the funk that you're in and stuff like that. And by no means necessary is this podcast to kick somebody while they down and talk about Tamar Braxton in a character assassinating way by any form. We just want to go into what the stresses are in the industry, depression and things of that nature. And we're going to definitely get into it. I want to kick it off on this one and say, hey, man, from what I know about the industry and what other entertainers been through and their stories about what happened in former entertainers that you've never probably ever heard of or probably heard from once upon a time and just kind of disappeared. It's not because they're talentless or anything like that. They was wise enough to get in and get out or step back when like it was time to step back. And they did not really go through a lot of things that a lot of celebrities today go through because they want to be famous so badly. I mean, in today's times, we got people selling their souls just to be YouTube celebrities and hoping that something will come out of that. I mean, you got people that have small podcasts, now have big podcasts, and done a lot of things that they're not proud of just to get ahead because they felt like that was the necessary move to do when they was, you know, not on the upscale, so to speak. You know, so if you will, we're going to partake in a conversation right now about the industry and the stress of the industry. Matter of fact, you did a YouTube video about it not too long ago. What hit you the most with Tamar Braxton's statement when she was talking and about her attempted suicide?
Well, she said that she's a slave. None of her pictures, none of her thoughts are her generally hers, and that she begged Master to be separated, but instead she is beaten and tortured. And then she said the only way out is suicide. That very much to me sounds like she went ahead and did it for the fortune and fame and the repercussions that come with that. She can't handle it.
Wow, that's deep. And you know what? She's not the first. She definitely not going to be the last the way the cycle looking right now because, I mean, it's a lot of people that been coming out lately, 2019 and 2020. You know, there was a young gentleman that talked about how he felt like he shouldn't have never sold out just to be famous. There was a young lady, I think she had made an Instagram video. She was a rapper.
Sukiana.
What's her name?
Sukiana. She's on Love & Hip Hop now.
Oh, yeah. See how she always, and right after that, she still appeared on Love & Hip Hop. But she was talking about how she just wanted out. She didn't want nothing else to do with nothing. But all of a sudden, she cast it on that reality show full of people that sell out.
Well, I realized that I had posted a ratchet video of her ass twerking in the grocery store and didn't realize it was her.
Yeah. Yeah, that was her.
And then she also made an appearance on Jerry Springer, too.
Yeah, a lot of them do. You know, that's how a lot of people start out. Oh, yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. Y'all do me a favor, man. If I remember whoever. I know some of y'all, most of y'all out there don't watch Jerry Springer at least once before. If you go back to the archives, fam. Y'all go back to the archives and y'all see a lot of people that has a name in the industry now. They was on Jerry Springer back in the days.
D-Ray Davis is one of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. D-Ray Davis is one.
They make up storylines and shit.
Corey Holcomb was one. Shit, my homeboy Eddie was on there. He was on there three times. Sometimes they do that, you know. I seen a crisis actor on Jerry Springer once. I seen somebody brought that to my attention, actually. I saw the episode with dude on there. Then he had another story about something that happened that a lot of people thought that event was a staged event. And he was talking. And he was on Jerry Springer before. And you will see like a whole bunch of people that you may know on talk shows, period. I mean, not just Jerry Springer. He wasn't the first person to springboard people that became known later. I mean, Phil Donahue had a bunch of people. I'm not going to say nobody's name because I don't want nobody taking nothing the wrong way. And I don't want to deviate from what we're talking about, but because, you know, they necessarily wasn't in the industry per se, but they were a public figure. You got people that was on Sally Jesse Raphael back in the day and shit.
That's when I was a kid. Way back when I was a kid,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. You was a baby when Sally Jesse Raphael probably was out, wasn't you?
I remember watching
that. Was you even born when that shit was?
You'd have to tell me what year that shit came out, but I watched it as a kid.
That bitch was, Sally Jesse Raphael was, man, I remember that shit being like in the mid to late 80s and shit.
Then he read I was a baby then?
Yeah. So, shit, I was damn near a baby myself. See, I was a kid. So, yeah, man, and like I said, man, this still going on today. Tamar just happens to be one of the biggest celebrities who wants out right now. You know, Kanye West had his little spell, but he got right back in the groove because they had to check him, you know, and get him back into shape. You know, then he started linking up with Donald Trump, and the rest is history. He been doing weird shit and more weird shit every day. Talking about he was going to run for president not too long ago. I'd be like, how did you go from that to believe that you can be president of the United States one day, which you probably will be?
Well, we did a podcast about this like a year ago and a video, I believe, about that.
Yep. And I think I did on one of my old YouTube channels about Kanye being the president in 2024. I don't know if that prediction may go, but it seemed like I was getting damn near close. But, he's in there. The best thing I don't see Kanye West do, to be honest, was to champion the movement to try to help Larry Hoover get out early, which just this past Thursday, Larry Hoover had a telephone hearing. And Wallace Gator Bradley via text made a statement, stuff like that, and on his behalf and stuff. And they didn't say yay or nay yet, but people don't want him to be released from where he's at now in the Supermax to, reduce his sentence to from triple life, where he can go back to Illinois and finish serving his sentence. And even still, if he does get his sentence reduced, he won't be up for parole till about 2064. But
I'll be older when he get out. If he
Well, hopefully, I mean, well, he's an older guy right now, so but you know what? That would be something else. I mean, a lot of great men have benefited from that act and was able to actually get released and come home and be with their family. So I give Kanye West credit for that. Shout out to Kanye for that.
Well, I know there was a lady that was sentenced her first time for, she knew her son was selling drugs and they gave her like some ridiculous time in prison. And Kim Kardashian actually got her out of prison and gave her a good settlement to be back with her family.
Yeah, them motherfuckers got some power over there, man. Got some power over there. But,
see, we trying to help people. What about Tupac's stepdad who's still been in prison for the longest time?
Mutulu Shakur.
Still in prison and we've done nothing to try to help him get out.
No.
That's a long time before I was born, at least a decade.
Oh, more than that.
Damn.
I ain't been locked down for a minute. Yeah. Tupac, that also reminds me of a song. I think it was called Fame. What are we dying for? Nothing but pain, stuck in this game, searching for fortune and fame. Yep. And that was a song where he expressed his discomfort in the industry. I mean, he had many songs like that, but that was one that always stuck in my mind.
I remember right before Tupac died, he did an MTV interview and he said, I wish I can go back to 1989.
Yep.
So that just tells you, over and over and over and over again, freaking Michael Jackson wrote a song called Money, talking about I'll die for you, I'll kill for you, I'll even sold my soul to the devil, talk about money.
Facts.
But see, here's the thing with Tamar. People don't realize when you go to those evil powers that be, what they want in return, you don't know if they tell her, well, we want your son. And that's just too much for her to deal with.
Yeah, some people don't give up. Don't try to, you know, do stuff like that. You know, I don't really necessarily always get into the conspiracies of blood sacrifices and stuff like that, but I will say this, man, the shit is real. You know, I know this firsthand. I know how the underhandedness of it is and how it goes, you know. And, yeah, man, this shit is real. It's real. You know, without getting more in depth into it, you know, that's another podcast. But we want to talk about, generally speaking, about how stressful of the hustle and bustle and how life can turn you and money can turn you. She followed up behind her sister and she signed up for it, man. She wanted to be that Braxton on that status. She was going to be the next one up and the one that was going to have all the glitz and glamour, and she had the right husband, the right connections in the business. You know, they end up getting divorced.
Because I find it, honestly, when I was watching the show, is like, it took him a long time to want to put her on. But I'm like, if you have some kind of power to help somebody, because she can sing.
It wasn't that. I think they were just grooming her. It wasn't like he was taking longer trying not to put her on, because, I mean, he was ready to do what he had to do to get her on. I mean, Tony, she was on already, and, you know, she was a backup singer for her for a while, you know, going on tour with her.
All of them.
Learning ins and outs and outs and ins. Yeah, all the sisters. They was all backup singers with Tony, with their sister Tony Braxton and shit. And, you know, they ended up y'all getting a reality show at first, promoting certain things that they was doing individually, you know, where they all can make some money and get fat off of it or whatever, so to speak.
They're and, very dysfunctional because they can never come together and collectively get along.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, I'm better. Oh, no, we're going to do this tour. These are the rules. And then Tamar always had a smart-ass mouth, and she was always thinking she was like a bigger than her sister who was on first. But she has her own show coming up.
That was her goal, man. That was what she was supposed to be. She was supposed to be bigger. You know, but I mean, when it came down to it, man, you know, when you're dealing with people controlling you, telling you how to act, what to do, telling you, okay, this is what you gonna do, you might as well say it like this. I don't know what the verbatim or what they were saying or no shit like that, but this, in my mind, with the disrespect that they do when they pissing shit all over you and shit, they're like, look here, bitch, this is what you gonna do. You gonna act this way, bitch. You gonna cut your hair bald when we tell you to cut your hair bald. You gonna come to this motherfucking office. Come to my couch, sit down. You gonna do this, that, and the third. Just unspeakable acts and things like that. I can't disgusting. Put it on the, you know, on the air like that. But, you know, they basically, you know what I'm saying?
Pimp the fuck out of your ass.
Pimp you hard and just use you, abuse you, and drag you through the motherfucking industries, so to speak. And that's depressing in itself, ain't it?
Because I said on my video that they be doing like MK Ultra and fucked up shit like morally.
Right. Is the money worth it, though? You got to think about it. Like, you want to be so rich and famous. You want to have your dream home. I get it. You know, you want to do this, you want to do that. But man, what you got to go through though to get it? It's the fucked up.
Because that sounds like that would break you down emotionally.
Hell yeah, it'll break you down emotionally.
And you just, like, when they say.
They do women dirty, dog.
We have more. Hope in the holes.
They doing dudes dirty too, man. Don't get it messed up though. I know some dudes. Like I told you about a story about, you know, some of the story that one of my mentors, Bobby Hemmett, was talking about. And he was talking to a brother that he was talking about. A brother told him about a brother that we both know from Milwaukee, Frank. He went to California because he wanted to be an actor, shit like that, right? Mm-hmm. And he flew down to California, and he thought the shit was super easy because he was like, dog, I'm about to play in this movie, whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop. You know, and you know, this is my first time out. Everybody talking about how you got to earn your way and woo woo woo. He got the role or whatever. Okay. So when he thought he was gonna have it on Easy Street, he said some white old dude. He was Jewish, by the way. You go ahead and counsel me for saying that, but this is what he said, goddammit. He said it was an old white dude that said that he wanted him to, you know, have anal sex with him. You know what I'm saying? The old man wanted to bend his old booty over and he wanted Frank to pop him in the ass. Right? So he was like, nah, man, I'm good on that. And he was on the next thing smoking back to Milwaukee.
Well, I mean, I know some people who were actors on a lower level and have said the same thing with theater arts, because that's where most of the people I know that have been acting have done, like, stage plays and shit like that. He said he wanted that. I won't say the person's name, but he got the role as, like, doing Romeo and Juliet. And he's like, you better suck me up. And he's like, fuck this. I ain't doing that fuck shit. So they ended up getting another actor who couldn't remember the lines and then profusely apologized.
Yeah, this is what this comes to, man. Look, this is why people actually, you gotta watch motherfuckers actually like, what if this type shit. Like, say if I came to you like, though, I had a suitcase and shit, right? You know how people be saying, like, how motherfuckers be fantasizing how they have it easy. But if something come with it, it's an attachment with it. I got a suitcase full of money. Say it's got around $1.5 million in it. You see, ain't never seen that kind of money in your life. I pop this suitcase, pop that suitcase, like boom, you count it. You like, damn, I can't even count all this. I'm like, oh, it is yours.
But,
this is what you gonna do. So you be like, all right, you might G for some of it, and you might say, fuck it, man. Look, man, I ain't gonna never make it. I so desperately want it. You know what I'm saying? I gotta make it, goddammit. And I'm tired of this fucking lifestyle. I've been living this shit too fucking long. I gotta do something, goddammit.
Tired of hot dogs and ramen.
Right. This is between me and this motherfucker, so I'ma do this. But see what the motherfucker, see how the devil work, you know what I'm saying? What he ain't gonna tell your ass he is. You know what I'm saying? We gonna own the fuck out your ass. You know what I'm saying? And they gonna put the little fine print in your contract. How they gonna basically own you, your family, your goddamn soul and everything. And then once you start realizing that you ain't got no control of your fucking life, no matter what all this shit is, half this shit you ain't gonna even be able to enjoy anyway because you basically not a slave. So when they send you, you gotta go running. You they send off. You they bitch now. You understand? Your hard work, you feel like it's paying off, but you ain't never let your hard work pay off. You just fucked around and just put all that hard work in with a little bit of assistance, and they're going to make you work even harder to get what they need from you and then some, right? So when you realize this shit, man, it started to take its toll on you emotionally. Then you all of a sudden feel like, man, I don't even want to be here no more. Even though you know you just had a baby or some shit like that, like Tamar.
Her son is like probably between 4 and 6 or something.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you got a small child. You ain't even thinking about that. You like, man, look, I can't do this shit no more. I think I'm just better off if I just go ahead and fucking die and deal with my decision on taking myself out and don't have to go through this. The only way I can free myself. Mike Tyson, the legendary fighter, once said, sometimes, man, death is the only freedom that a nigga knows. And that's the only freedom a nigga gonna ever really have. And I understood what he was saying from a point of view. It's like, you know, you work all your life. You feel oppressed all your life. You feel what I'm saying? And, or either you may be incarcerated. You may have your whole life to be there. And the only freedom you're going to ever know, some people ain't going to ever know financial freedom or freedom, period. Freedom, just fresh air freedom and shit. So the only freedom you ever know is when you go and when you transfer into a new birth.
So before all this craziness happened, I don't know if this was like the beginning of the year, but it had to happen either late last year or the beginning of this year till now, that Tamar's niece passed away and she got dragged all over the internet because she was like, oh, I'm busy filming. I don't have time to go to her funeral.
Yeah, see, so that's some fucked up shit, man.
I find that really weird to me. Fuck
so,
that.
So it's hard to me to see how a motherfucker ended up being so cold-blooded, man. So you end up being like that. They groom you into being fucked up like that. You know, you don't give a fuck about your family no more. Like, shit, I got shit to do.
She was like 21 or some shit when she that little girl died.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Young.
Yeah. You know, I got shit to do.
But see, people get caught up in these reality shows if they tell me, hey, yo, so-and-so passed away. We're not fucking filming until I say so. Get the fuck out.
Exactly. I mean, ain't nobody going to be able to tell me, talking about some, no, you can't go to that funeral. That's another thing about the industry, too. Like, look at the Nick Cannon situation, man. Right?
And that interview was a year ago.
What, Nick Cannon?
Yeah.
Are you talking about what they're talking about? You're talking about the Hebrews and the Jews and shit?
1 year ago, I said it on his YouTube channel.
So, the thing about it is this, man. Look at what he had to go through. He championed a lot of the boycotting of the NFL and supporting Colin Kaepernick, supporting Black Lives Matter, supporting, you know, against police brutality. You know, he came to a lot of the rallies and stuff like that, man. And, you know, he seemed like he was pretty fearless and he was still grounded or whatever. And he has a lot of success in the business. And, you know, I was kind of proud of him, you know. And but all that shit go for nothing once Viacom came to him when it was his turn. You understand? He wasn't gonna stand on his square, man. You feel what I'm saying? When they told him, like, look, we'll pay you off, but you're gonna apologize. That's the only way you're gonna get your shit back. You know, matter of fact, not only you gonna apologize, say you wish you never said that shit. You know, and all that good stuff. That's what you gonna do. And that's what he did.
My thing is, I don't give a fuck who you are or what status. If I said some shit, it could even be fucked up in my heart. If I feel like I'm not gonna apologize, I'm not gonna fucking do it. I don't give a fuck who you think you are.
Yeah, you gotta stand on it, man. You gotta really show some solidarity and strength, man. I was like, dude, I was like with him. I was like, man, when he said he wasn't gonna apologize, I was so proud of him. When he first initially said he wasn't going to apologize, he's not going to take it back. Because, I mean, be honest, you got your rights, you got your constitutions.
But it ain't really free, it's bullshit. It ain't,
right. But, you know, you can say what you want to say, though. You know what I'm saying? And if you ain't said nothing wrong, you ain't said nothing violent, like I said before, you ain't did nothing to incite anything or nothing like that, and you just stated certain facts and historical facts and actual facts and stuff like that, you have every right to stand your ground and feel good about it, no matter what a motherfucking repercussion may be. You know, we don't have a lot of people like that no more walking around, if any. You understand?
I found out something about Public Enemy that bothered me. So Professor Griff, before, I guess, I don't know if he was rapping with them, he said he was doing the choreography for them and everything. Mm-hmm. And right when he started learning knowledge itself from the people before our time right now, he said everything was good. Dougie Fresh was his best friend. They had been friends since they were kids. And then right when he got marked as a Jew hater, that's when Dougie Fresh was like, we're going to give the message, but you went too far, and turned his back on his own fucking friend.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he realized, fuck this shit.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go for a cause? And because someone says you're a Jew hater, because like people talk about being anti-Semitic. If you say anti-Semitic, that means you're anti-black people, because a Hebrew Israelite is a black person. I consider
the original Hebrews, but the Jewish people is saying they got offended for whatever reason about the fact that they talked about, or they was trying to pay him to be racist because I guess he used certain buzzwords like savages and stuff like that, but he wasn't really necessarily calling people of today savages, which some are, but he wasn't saying that. He was saying, like, you know, Yeah, you know, it was taking people through a time of history. They even went past. They weren't even talking about Jews per se. They even went to talk about the Caucasus Mountains and the Vikings and stuff like that, man, that came and raped and pillaged and destroyed people's property and land and lives and stuff like that. I mean, that's some hardcore reporting, man, but that, at the end of the day, that's his right to speak on it. So you telling me can't no Jewish person or so-called Jewish person, right, come up and say, like, I remember when them Germans put us in ovens and fried us up and, you know, did us dirty and shot us in the head and mistreated us. They got every right to say that, right? But ain't no Germans oppressing them for freedom of speech, is it?
But the African was the first Black Holocaust way longer than they were.
Oh, absolutely. But this is the point I'm making, though, right? Do you hear anybody stopping them from talking about that, though, right? The Holocaust.
No.
I mean, I don't recall that. Nobody, any Jewish man that ever spoke out or woman who spoke out about how they was treated. Which is actual facts. Ain't nobody gonna take that away, right?
And it's truth, yeah.
Ain't nobody ridiculed them and made them feel bad. Why it's always gotta be a brother or a sister when they start talking about stuff like this, man? Social issues and history and stuff like that, man. And they want to start penalizing you. You know why? Because they own your black ass and you can't say nothing. You know what I'm saying? And if they feel like you said something and you stepped on their toes, and just because Viacom can say, look here,
Nigga,
you gonna say, you sorry? And if you say, oh, no, you ain't sorry? All right, well, check this out here, man.
You ain't got no more money. Psst.
Whatever, you know what I mean? Woo. You know what, man? Go ahead, man. I do it, man. I mean, everybody got a breaking point, right? Just like they say, everybody got a price. Everybody got a breaking point, I guess. No matter how strong you try to come across, they will find a way to break your ass, whether they, you know. I'm not saying that's how it went, but I'm saying unless somebody, like, you know. Now, you might not give a fuck about you, per se. You can threaten me all you want. You can kill me. Just don't fuck with my family.
They'll go do that first.
You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, okay, motherfucker, you gonna do what? I don't give a fuck. Do it. I ain't sorry about the shit. You know what I'm saying? But
I mean, a reoccurring dream about that for myself, that because of the knowledge I share, these people in black suits come to me and go, hey, you know a lot, but I want to use you to fool the masses. And every time I say no.
The one like Will Smith? The Men in Black?
No, pretty much. Yeah, they keep coming to me and they're like, well, you know knowledge itself, but I want you to mislead the masses and name your price. Oh, you making this? And I'm like,
okay,
no.
Well, how much money would you accept to mislead the masses? Like, say if I need you to use every influence you got to mislead the masses, like, how much money? And I got endless money, right? Mm. How much money will it take for me to give you so you can do it?
I wouldn't do it. So if you threaten death, go ahead.
Nah, it's up to you to step away. But if you step in, and after I don't offer to you and took the money, it's too late. I own your ass then, but I'm saying, like, I'm giving you opportunity now. Like, if you want it, I got you. But that's, if you just don't.
It's weird, though, because in my dream the first
time. No, I'm saying, would you take some money?
No. Well, in my dream, the first dream I had, and I keep having this, was that I was my own independent entity. And they were just like, hey, Kendra, I'll give you triple of your billion. So I'm like, after you get to a billion, what the fuck is after a billion? And where'd you get that money? I'm like, no.
You ain't getting that far, fam. I ain't gonna do a lot to you.
And it scared me because I was like, at this point, I was like, what y'all do is not cool. So if you have to kill me, take everything you want from me, go right ahead. And then in my dream, the first time, I ended up just working at McDonald's. And they're like, why don't you do that anymore? I couldn't speak on it. The second time, I was back home and the Lyft picked me up. And I was like, hey, I need to go pay my phone bill.
This is what I'm saying, man. Like, this is what I understand about you motherfuckers in the industry anyway. Half that money y'all say y'all got, y'all net worth ain't what you got, man. So
that means in the bank
you can't pull it out without permission. Certain amount, they tell you how much you can get. You can't physically count it, so it ain't yours, dude. Two, Like, dog, you better off independently making this money, right?
Like a Nipsey Hussle Immortal Technique?
Yeah, pretty much. More so like Immortal Technique because he never fucked with the major labels. Nipsey ended up signing a deal at some point, I believe, with a major label.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Towards the end. But the thing was is that the thing is this, man, look. You got all this money that you can't physically count, so to speak. You got this status, but it never ends up being worth it. It more so if you independent, man, you're doing your own thing, you're keeping up with your own cash money, and you can make money. See, I ain't sitting here telling y'all don't do your thing because you can make a whole lot of money doing what you love to do and owning your own shit. Don't get it fucked up. You can, and you ain't got to worry about feeling no type of way about it, and nobody pulling your strings or none of that shit, right? I know this for a fact. But what I'm telling you is that you have to keep it that way. Because at a certain point, that's why I told you, you ain't going to get that far. You ain't making no Dr. Dre paper, no Diddy paper. You ain't going to be no billionaire. You not. I'm saying you not going to be no billionaire, no trillionaire. Dealing, going that route. Because you ain't going to be able to get that assistance to put your name on certain brands. Act like you don't came up with a new invention. Ain't none of y'all niggas patent nothing anyway. So we all know that shit is fake. But what I'm saying is this. You can make a whole lot of money. They'll even buy you out. And you can probably sell some shit to them. And you can get a return on it. But they'll probably make triple the money you sold it for. But
Dr. J did Beats by Dre.
He ain't did shit. That's what I was just saying. This is the point I just made. Do you believe Dr. Dre, meathead ass, came up with a patent for some new fucking speakers?
Hell no.
He put his name on the shit, yeah. But whoever, see, you getting a taste of how they did us. Like when we was inventing all this shit, you came up with the patent. But, you know, I mean, they take your shit and act like they invented it and put their name on it.
KFC is a prime example. He stole the recipe.
Man, a whole lot of shit is a prime example. The cell phone is a private example. Fucking Daniels. Whiskey, Jack Daniels is a prime example. I mean, this was made from slaves, bruh. Ain't none of these families making money off that shit and got generational wealth behind that. It's white families making money off of that. So that's what I'm saying. Dog, like, that's all illusional shit. Now, when you doing your own thing, selling it yourself, hustling, you got your workers, you employing people, you flourishing, you doing good. Keep it that way. You can still be a millionaire and shit. Yeah, you can make money. Obviously. But you ain't going to get to where all that fake ass shit they putting in front of you like you going to make billions and trillions. Not that way. You not. And if they do put that shit on you, you understand what I'm saying? You got to go and do shit they way. You understand?
You got to go meet upstairs.
And understand something. You got to know what you're getting into when you do it. This is what you signed up for. Don't be half-ass stupid. Be all the way stupid. That's why I say I don't respect motherfuckers. Once you take a certain stance and you do something, stick with it. Whether you consider it negative, positive, bad, or good. This is what I signed up for. You can't all of a sudden be like, oh, I can't do it no more. You a weak motherfucker. That's why. That goes for any fucking body. That goes for motherfuckers that people say is industry puppets or whatever. So fucking what? If you're going to be the fucking puppet and you're going to be down with the shits and you're going to participate, shut the fuck up and do it and stop complaining and quit whining and bitching and crying and just handle that shit.
Well, I have
real talk, I'm laughing, but I'm serious.
But the thing is, it really sucks for child actors because their parents would be selling them into this shit and they don't have a choice.
That's what they say.
If you're doing that to a 3 and 4 year old, how am I supposed to know what's going on?
You don't know what's going on, but you got a choice to take control of it. It ain't like you're going to be like a motherfucker. I mean, you need your ass whooped if you're going to subject your child to some shit and not put him up on game or no shit like that. But look here, man. Everybody ain't been no fucking, you know, born into the slave act. But think about African ancestors that were enslaved, right?
Some of them jumped off that damn boat.
Right. But listen, that's not the point I'm making. The thing is that it's been a lot of people who done a lot of great things and didn't see nothing from it. Who had to die. Back to the point to what I'm saying, a la Mike Tyson's statement. Death is the only freedom a nigga knows. Back then, they didn't even get to see no goddamn freedom. A lot of people died slaves, you understand? And to this day, motherfuckers are still dying slaves. That's the shit I'm talking about.
You're right, because George Washington's concubine, Sally Hemings, had been with him for fucking years. They had a shitload of kids. He was raping her when she was little. And the fucked up part is that motherfucker freed all his kids, but she was still a slave until she died. Her brothers and sisters still owned her.
Right. Facts, facts. Well, man, I appreciate y'all, man, listening, man. We're going to wrap it up early. We got some other prior engagements and commitments to handle. But we definitely appreciate y'all listening, man. This has been definitely a good one, man. Until next time, man. You know, Cypher Supreme Raw signing out. And we out of here. Peace and blessings. And like I said at the beginning of the podcast, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. I am the great and powerful Cypher.